Mr. Gormley, Reel 47.
So you found it. What happened to this loot?
Well, I don't know how many string tunnels it took to go and clear it away, because there was just the lads, they took all the lads, the dough sorted out, you know, because once we'd opened it up, then we took all the bricks and rubble and everything, all had to be shifted, naturally, it all had to be taken out the road, and because there was pretty carpets and everything, beautiful bloody, these oriental carpets and all that, you know, being out of these big mansions and that, probably looted from the chateaus in the French chateaus and things like that.
And that was taken away, and you never saw it after that?
Never got a smell of it, didn't even know where it went to, or what had happened to it, or anything. We never even got to know about it. We never, that was the first thing we saw of it, and that was the last thing we saw of it. Never saw it again.
How did the victory parade go?
So, on a victory parade, we had, I've got the full list up there.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking from your own personal point of view.
From your own personal point of view, well, we had, we went down on the morning, to be honest. We were there about 9 o'clock. No, maybe before. 8 o'clock. We were there. The 3rd Royal Horse Artillery, which were the recognised senior regiment on parade. They were doing the march pass. They also fired the salute for Winston Churchill when he arrived. They also fired the salute for the 25-pound guns that they had. Of course, we had the SPs and we had combat tanks in the front. I've got a photograph of that upstairs. One of the lads took a photograph of our regiment coming up, like, you know, and. And then we didn't see anything of the parade, if you understand what I mean. It was a big parade. It took about 3/4 of an hour or something to get marched past. But we didn't actually see the parade because we were in our tanks. We were behind the 3rd RH.
Yeah, you saw your own little vehicle.
We just saw our own little bit, because we were behind the 3rd RH at the Brandenburg Gate, where they were setting off from. And we were just stuck in our own little tanks and that. I was all right, like, I was a sergeant major, like, but I was with a tank in the front, like, actually. And
was it a proud moment?
Oh yes. You couldn't wish it.
Were the Germans civilians watching it?
You'd be surprised how many German civilians turned out to watch it. Yeah. They come out of all the rubble, because Berlin itself, and that is the first time that we'd actually seen Berlin, because we'd been outside all the time. We'd never been inside at all until we went in there the day before for a quick run through. We just had a quick look. Oh God, bloody hell. You couldn't believe the damage that had been caused. Unbelievable, the damage that had been caused. And we went through that. And when we came back, then we had a better look at it, because we'd come back a different way to what we'd already come, like, you know, and we saw a lot more about it. But we had a hell of a. The parade itself went splendidly, you know, really great. Churchill came along, we rode up and down the ranks of these in a jeep, like, you know. And he rode up and down the ranks and inspected everybody. But the people who were watching would see more of the parade than we saw.
After the parade was over and you settled down again, did you, what kind of activities did you get involved in?
Well, we had these were the halcyon days of summer. I've mentioned it before, like, but these were the halcyon days of summer. July, and Well, we had a big sports parade, like a sports sector, like, you know. I don't know the clatter there. I was one of the fastest runners over 100 yards, 220 yards, in the regiment. And they had this inter-battery competition. So I went out and there was nobody else in it. Oh, just lying there, half asleep lying on the very grass, you know. somebody walked in and said, they pulled the waist forward. He said, "You've got to get up." And I got up, I said, "Where the hell am I?" And I got up and I went staggering up to the pretty, and I've been staggering up to the pretty line. I couldn't get me thoughts again, you know. I mean, I wasn't far off the track for it, but you know, you need a little bit to gear yourself up, like, you know. And besides which, I'd been on a whiskey the night before, no, like. And so I get up and I'm the lead runner, like, you know, to get him a good start. To get him a good start, finished up with about 4 yards down. This little Johnny behind me, he took over me after this. I bloody kill you, said, we would have won that many races, so we lost it by about 3 inches.
So you had sporting activities.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get involved in guarding any of the hierarchy, the German war crimes, the criminals? Sorry?
No, we didn't get involved.
You weren't involved in that?
No, not at all. There was another incident happened there. It was my duty to patrol all around the state at the time. And the Russians were on the other side of the lake. And we got there, and this was before the victory parade, actually. And I noticed three Russians in a bloody doing the war like hell to get back over the other side of the lake where they were on. And the war like hell was, of course, I didn't have anything, only had my swagger stick. And I went down and I found two young girls, only about 14, 15, if that. I cut the bloody swords for two. If I'd had a rifle, I would have shot the bastard. I would have shot the fucking boat. I would have done it if I'd had my rifle with it. I would have made sure they didn't get back to the bloody bank either. But that happened later.
So your relationships with the Russians weren't that good, were they?
No, not really. I mean, if you went out and you strayed into there, and you strayed into their zone by accident, it would strip you. And it would take all your boots and your shoes and everything off, and it would leave you with bloody nothing on and let you walk back the buses, because the clothes they had were like bloody paper, like that. Well, less than that, like bloody paper. Where to get the English battle dresses, God, you know, proper. So do anything to get hold of them.
Did you get involved with the other nations in their zones, the French and the Americans?
No, not really. They were all in different zones, and they kept them in different zones. You know, we never fraternized to that extent. I don't think we wanted to, be honest. We just were quite happy to carry on with our own club and everything, you know.
So you had a good social life in your own area.
We had a great social life within our own regiment in the barracks. You never used to bother going out anyway. I mean, we never bothered going into the town. It was too bloody far for me to be bothered anyway. Some of you say down the way down the town because the tolling restriction had been lifted then, because there was nowhere they could have all these people running in and out doing all your bloody cleaning for you. And you couldn't, I was just weren't allowed to speak with things like that, you know. Bloody crazy, who ever thought of it would have been around the bend.
Did you ever get invited into a German home?
No.
No.
Oh, I did, yes, once. I down in Spandau, that was later on.
We haven't got that far yet, have we? When did you move from this barracks then?
We were in there. Probably 8 or 9 months.
You quite a spell. And no
I
problem.
Had, I had my first leave from there, actually. That was my first leave I'd had.
And that was back home?
And that was back home, yeah. We went down to Hanover, stayed the night at Hanover, and then from there we went all the way back to down to Dover. I was at Antwerp.
How many days did you get?
14. But it took it. It took us 2 days to get back, so I only had 10 days, like, you know. And which were very welcome, like, you know. So, I just remembered that about the leaf. I nearly forgot that.
And you had no problems at all during the whole of that time with the German population?
No, whatever. Because I can remember coming back when off that leave, and I'd had 2 days travelling, as I say. And I just got in and got on my bunk, you know. And this Benny Sorensen come in. Right, Sergeant Major, he says, we'll play in the first country football. He said, get your bloody tongues on. He said, and get out there. I said, what time's the kick-off? He said, 5 o'clock. I said, hey, I'm not. I said, that's shit. I was bloody knackered, but I said, I've been in the back of a wagon all bloody day. I said, I'll get out there. He said, no excuses, get out there. And it was fully the way it happened, mate. Because we went out and I took one free kick and I sailed it right into the corner of this net, like, you know. And this bloke just nodded to me, you know. So that was one up. And, I was knackered, man. And in the end, in the second half, it's funny how it happened, like, because the goalie come rushing out as you know, and I flicked the ball over his head like that, and I ran in, and the bloody thing hit the crossbar, the come back hit me head, went straight in the net. I kicked it off the top, it hit the bar, come back, hit it straight in the bloody head, and it was straight in the net.
Where did you go to when you left this barracks?
And all went down to the Olympic Stadium.
And this was Spandau, was it, did you say?
No, the Olympic Stadium, in Berlin itself. The outside part of Berlin. And
what were you doing there?
Well, we were actually in the athletes' quarters. And there was, let me see, my bullet was on the bottom floor. And all I had to do was, like, there was two, like, French windows in the room. And I just used to walk out there, and that was my swimming pool. That was a swimming pool. One of the swimming pools was right outside there. I just had to walk across a little landing, and I was at the swimming pool. And I used to go in there every morning and swim, do 5 or 6 lengths, up and down the deep pool, and then come out and then go and get me breakfast. That was brilliant, that. Brilliant.
What duties did you have to perform? You'd be back to pre-war regimental life,
yes,
were you?
Oh yes. And even the guards and doctors, they haven't got the bullshit that we have. No doubt about that. We could out shine the guards any day. RHA, oh God. We were in there, but it was handy because the autobahn was running now. The underground, I should say, the underground was running. So, but it didn't go into the deep underground because that was already flooded. But the upper parts of the underground was run. And we used to had some great times there because we were handy because we could we just jump on the underground and go to wherever we wanted to go, to the town centre. I mean, I saw the Rigoletto.
Were you beginning to lose conscripted men now? Were they going back home on demob?
Oh, yes. So, there's a lot of them still going, you see. I was all right because it didn't matter to me. Like, you know, I mean, I could have stuck there The only thing that spoiled me was when they were going overseas again, back to Palestine. They were going to go back overseas to Palestine. But we had lots of, because there was a lot of sport in that later on. There was in the Olympic Stadium itself, West Ham United came, played, and they played, and they sent us, they brought a team from Moscow. We didn't know it at the time, but once they got to talk to them, they called them the Moscow Dynamos, who came over here, and they made a hell of an impression when they came over here, and they toured this company. But we saw them for the very first time in the Olympic Stadium at Berlin, and they finished up 2 weeks. But I'll be honest, and I said to Tommy Downey, who actually comes from Sunderland, the day alive one, lad, and we met each other while we were out there, and we came home together actually on that leave I was talking about, and I said to Tommy at the time, I said this lot, they could stand anywhere with a first division team in England, and the only thing was, they had to try to walk the ball into the net. Where all that just took a quick bash in the game, and that was how they scored 2 goals. The rest of the time they fucking walked it all over.
Presumably the infantry battalions were doing most of the guard duties were in Berlin in the area. You weren't involved in, I'm thinking of guarding public buildings and prisoners and so forth.
We didn't know anything like that. It probably would be all the infantry went to us who did that, but we were never called upon to do that. Just our own guard duties in wherever we were, like, you know.
Where did you move to after that?
And we went this is where the major sent to me, and he said, look, he said, we're going overseas. I thought, oh God, overseas, where is it? Palestine, I thought, oh God, in the bloody muck again, like, you know. And of course I had a lot of accrued leave, which I hadn't had, right? And so I said, could I have a couple of hours to think it over, sir? He said, oh, yes, go on. So I went back after 2 hours, but I made my mind up. I thought, well, there's no way I'm going out there and signing on and going back over there. I'd had enough of that. But I said, I've got all that billing leave to get, I'm going to have it. This is my way of thinking, like. I said, I've had about 5 months sleep all together, you know. Like that truth, me don't need any more breathing. You know? I said, it's me, we have got balls of that to come back over there. So I said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I said, I'm going to have a try at City Street, sir. Well, he said, we're sorry to leave you, see you go, like. He said, but I'll see if I can find you a nice billet, you know. So a couple of days later, he said, I've got your lowly regiment, he said. Leicester Hill Yeomanry. Leicester Hill Yeomanry. And
and you joined them then? You went to them?
Yeah. I joined them. This was Arkham. That was my last station in the army. And I went down and joined this Colonel Brassey. And I'll never forget him. He's a beautiful man. Lovely fella. I wish I'd served under him, actually. I would have willingly served under him. Here we got down there, and the first thing he said, we've had regular soldiers in this regiment, and they never fitted in with my men. He said, so I'll give you a fortnight, and see if you fit in. So when I come out, this Sergeant George said to me, he said, gee, all right, eh, you know. I said, good regiment, like, you know. I said, oh, yeah, I said, I've heard of you. Right? And I said, what's he on about? I said, pretty Fred Carnot. No, he said, you know, he said, he thinks the world of his own men. He said, we've had these fellas for years. Said, you know, so I said, there's no danger of me blocking my copybook here. No, I said, I'll be all right. I said, don't worry about me, I said, I'm easy going. So I just settled in there nice and quiet, like, you know.
What guns did they have in their regiment?
25 pounds. And then we, there was a few things happened there. Mainly, the one thing that happened was a lad was missing. And we never let on, because we thought he was just sleeping out somewhere, you know. So this was over the New Year, like I said. And when they came to him, after the New Year, I should say, and a few said somebody in the storm went in to get somebody out of this place. And the fucker was lying dead in the bottom of the stores. Fucking bullet through his brain. And nobody knew how or why, but he was a lovely bloke, lovely man, like a sergeant. And land sergeant, I should say. And who or why or what, but Brassy went more or less covered it up or somehow, I don't know why, or how I should say. Down to accidental death, and which protected his wife's pension and that, you see. Lovely, lovely fellow. You know.
How long were you with them?
Oh, I was with them about October, I think I went. Yeah, yes, about October. So it was October, November, December, January, February, March.
You came on demob then, did you?
I came out on leave. With me demob leave and everything on. Yeah. But, so I was there quite a spell with them. And, I mean, I'll never forget New Year's Eve there, because this Colonel Brassy, great fella. You've invited everybody out of the sergeant's mess to go to the officer's mess for the punch bowl. So we all went up there, this pretty big punch bowl head. So we're sitting, we'd all been sitting up beforehand. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning, like the tram used to leave the top end of that arc, and the terminus was right outside our gate. And we'll commandeer a tram. This cap on the back of his head, this was the colonel, you know. We'll commandeer this pretty tram. And away we went down this hill. I'm driving, he said. Funny old chap. And we're rattling up and down that bloody hill. It's like that, you know. And I'm bloody thinking, like this. And we're all pissed at that, pissed at the nine ball, you know. We're all bloody shouting and screaming.
So you
I'm on the bloody big bell at the front, you know, the big bell carrying the bell.
So you were there, as you say, until the march, and you came home on leave. Is that what happened then?
Yeah, and then I got back to, then I had to report back to Woolwich.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to Woolwich, and I went in and had a medical. And he just said, this was me medical. Are you all right? I said, yes, sir. Anything complain about? No, sir. Right? A1, that was my medical. and then I was sent up to Fulford Barracks in York. And from there I was debobbed. I put my suit on the first time that one for years and years and years.
This was the one that you got given when you were debobbed?
This was the one that we had debobbed, like, and quite a good suit, really, like, you know. And, nice suit, nice tilby hat, and that was it. I came out.
You'd have quite some amount of pay accruing, did you, in your gratuities?
You had about 100 quid or something like that. This was quite a bit, about 100.
How long had you served in the army?
Approximately 11 years. I still had 12 months to do on there.
So do you get an army pension because of service? No, you came out too early for that.
Yeah, you've got to do at least 18 to get to qualify for an army pension. And then 21 or 22 is there.
Did you find it difficult settling down to civilian life?
No, not really. Not really. I mean, I went back to my old trade class. I didn't go back to work immediately. I just went to... I went driving, I think. I went driving. I was driving for a fella. It was a builder, like, you know. I went driving for a fella called Charlie Yeoman, did it right.
What were the best years of your army career? Looking back on them all.
Looking back on army life, well, I liked Dowshire. I liked Hyderabad. In fact, I'll be honest, I think I enjoyed the whole of my life in army. It didn't matter what happened to me. What, you know, various things did happen. But looking back on my